A lawyer asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment is the law in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside also may become clean." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So are we having trouble writing 2026 yet? Some things came across my desk this week, and I noticed a date on it, and it said like 1-7-25. I'm thinking, I don't think that's what they meant. I think it may have been a timesheet. So I'm thinking this person would like to get paid this year and not last year. So, I mean, this is still in the new year. We're still at the beginning of the new year. And at the beginning of a new year, people make what? Resolutions. Did anybody make a resolution or resolutions? All right. A lot of people do. And let me ask you, if you made one, did it have anything to do with exercising more, eating healthier, losing weight, or spending less and saving more? Did they? Well, then you're with everybody else, because the majority of New Year's resolutions has to do with one of those five things. All of those things. You know, it's this time of the year when we become incredibly optimistic as to what kind of person we think we can be. Right? But the reality is we start with good intentions, right? But it doesn't take long for our good intentions to start sort of dragging us down. Notice that? The gym feels less like a self-care, and it feels more like self-punishment, doesn't it? You know, we start hurting in places we never thought we could hurt in. All right, the diet feels less like a healthy choice and just feels like simply food deprivation. Yeah, deprivation. Yeah, you know, just can't eat anything. By mid-January, we're really wondering, I think, for a lot of folks, we wonder where the joy is in all our New Year's resolutions, because it doesn't feel like joy. A lot of times it feels like punishment. It's why the second Friday of January, did you know what the second Friday of January is? It's National Quitters Day. I'm not making it up, all right? Seriously, it's National Quitters Day because it marks the day that most people give up on and quit their New Year's resolutions. Maybe some of y'all celebrated this past week, huh? And I share all that because I think it's a way in which some people experience faith. They hear, follow God, and they think, oh great, another list of do's and don'ts, another list of rules. You know, another list of things that takes the joy out of life. It's a twisted view of God. Let me just say that. Yeah. God becomes the one who... The twisted view is that God wants to discipline us and not delight us. He wants us to be holy but not happy. And yet when Jesus talks about God, and especially here in Matthew, that's not what we find. It's a very different picture. Doesn't paint a picture of a joyous God, joyless God. Right? He paints a picture of a God who wants to give us more life, more of everything. And it starts, as we heard, starts with love. Love of God and then love of neighbor. So that's what we're doing over these, as Jesse mentioned, what we're doing over these next several weeks. We're looking at these twisted understandings of who God is, because a lot of people, they have a problem with God. Why? Because You know, God disappointed them in some way, or God didn't do what they wanted God to do, or God wasn't there. They thought God wasn't there when they wanted God to be there. Maybe they had a crisis of faith. Something tragic happened in their life, and so they're having a hard time following, a hard time believing in God, and many times even rejecting God. And the thing is, they're rejecting a twisted view of God and not who God really is. They're rejecting who they think God is. And so we're trying to untwist some of those things. And so we started last week with this on-command kind of God that God's always is there to do what we want God to do in the moment we want God to do it. And so we sort of untwisted that a little bit. Today I want us to untwist what I call the killjoy understanding of God. I want to believe, I want to follow, but you know, there's just too many rules. I want to enjoy life, and you know, I feel like if I can't do that and follow God. And to be honest, that was sort of my view kind of growing up, you know, in my limited and kind of naive understanding. It felt like when I looked at it, there was a lot of do's and don'ts and a lot of thee and thou's, and it looked really kind of boring, and I didn't really want to be a part of that. I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. God seemed to be kind of like that killjoy. And all about taking sort of like the fun out of life. But again, that was a twisted understanding. And I think some of that comes from, and this is where I'm coming from, though, is that we kind of misunderstand that religion and faith are two different things. Okay? At least this is the way I make sense of that. And for me, religion focuses on the external. Faith focuses on the internal. Now, they are interconnected, but religion in and of itself just really, to me, feels like it's just external, and faith is, you know, internal. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here in these passages here in Matthew that we heard a moment ago. Because Jesus is calling out the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." You're putting on this religious show. In other words, he's saying, and it's not matching up with your heart. And so he goes on, he says, "Blind Pharisee, first deal with the inside. Clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean as well." Because during Jesus' time, the Pharisees, these religious leaders, they were focused on the external. You know, they go out on the street corners, and they pray these big prayers, not so that God would hear them, but so that other people would see how holy they were, right? They would come up with all these rules as to what you could and couldn't do. The scriptures say keep the Sabbath holy. And they said, "Well, what does that really mean? That means you can't do this, that, and all these little minute kind of things." And so they would take the joy, the fun out of life. Right? Because they were focused on the external and not the internal. They were sort of like the divine, I call them the divine fun police. Right? Can't do this, can't do that. And it reminded me of a commercial that's been on here recently with Nick Saban. Maybe you've seen him, but if you haven't, take a look.
Is there a pool?
Check-in time is 3.
It's 2:55.
I know.
Is this what he's doing now?
Have a seat. As your host, I have some rules. First, no showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa. There's no streaming, only cable television.
Any games for the kids?
No games, no fun. The kids aren't even allowed in the house. That's the rule. There's a great barbecue outside, but don't touch that. How'd you guys get inside? 2 flush maximum per bathroom visit.
Yes, Coach.
You guys got about 10 minutes because this is daddy time in the tub.
I love it. How'd y'all get in the house? no kids, no fun, no nothing, right? And that's how I picture the Pharisees. You can't do this, you can't do that. And that's why Jesus says, don't be like them. They're all focused on the external. They're the killjoys, not God. I mean, think about it. Does God really want to restrict us and take the joy out of life, the fun out of life? And I would say no. Actually, God wants more for us, more freedom, more life, more joy, more compassion, more love. All of those things. But he's saying, you know, like when it comes to joy, Joy that's not dependent upon appearances. Joy that's not dependent upon approval or, you know, just how things look. Because, you know, that doesn't satisfy. That's empty kind of joy. And I was thinking about this. Okay, so everyone's seen, a lot of times, you know, somebody goes on vacation, they post all their pictures of their vacation, right? We do it. All right. So maybe they went to Disney. And maybe you've never been to Walt Disney World. And so you see all these wonderful pictures of Disney and all this fun and all this joy and all that. And it's like, oh, wow, that just looks like a perfect vacation. I've never been, so I want to go. And then you go, and this is what you find, right? My Disney folks will agree. Even though I love Disney, I like Disney too. But what you find is that it's crowded. Am I right? Look at the nobles. I know they love Disney. It's crowded. It's overpriced. It's stressful, and it's exhausting. And so you get back from your Disney vacation, and you need a vacation just to recover from your vacation. Right? That's the way it works. But, you know, it looks great until you kind of find, you know, get there, and it's like, oh, maybe it's not as great as it was pictured there. And so a lot of what passes for joy in our world is sort of like that. It photographs well. It posts well. It looks good, but it doesn't always satisfy. See, God's not trying to ruin our vacation. God's trying to save us from chasing joy that doesn't satisfy, that is empty kind of joy. See, God sees stuff that we can't always see. And every parent knows this moment, right? Your child wants to do something that looks fun in their eyes, that's exciting, something that all their friends are doing. They want to ride their bike down this steep hill. No helmet, no brakes, okay? No, just speed, just adrenaline. And you tell them, no, you're not going to do that. All right, now, they don't hear no because I love you. They hear, no, you're ruining my fun, right? That's the way it works. Because from their point of view, you're the killjoy. You're standing in the way of something exciting. But from your point of view, you see what they can't see. You see the cars at the bottom of the hill. You see the gravel. You see the emergency room visit waiting to happen, don't you? Right? And so you say no. Not because fun is bad. Because some kinds of fun come with a pretty steep cost. And so hopefully they realize that your no was really out of love, not out of control or restriction, but love and protection. See, God isn't restricting life. God is protecting it. And in Matthew, Jesus, he's pointing us to that. He's reminding us of that. He's pointing us to joy, not empty joy, but joy that lasts. And he says, you know, it's life that's not getting smaller. It's a life that gets bigger. You know, this religious leader, lawyer, comes to Jesus and asks this question. We've heard it many times. What's the greatest commandment? You know, and it looks like he's really sincere, but we, the readers, we know he's not really sincere. He's just testing Jesus. Right? He's wanting faith to be boiled down to a kind of a manageable system. You know, what's my check mark that I can do? Boom, boom, boom. And Jesus says, it's not about that, right? It's not about that at all. He says, it's about this relationship, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all relational, right? It starts in here. It's not the external. Because what happens here does finally, it comes out on the external, but it starts on the internal. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. It begins with loving God. And then it extends to loving others. Religion complicates, okay? I think Jesus simplifies. You know, what is, he's pointing us, Jesus points us to what is true joy. And joy that leads to abundant life, as he says. So what do? Do we just make a bunch of New Year's resolutions? All right? Only to quit on the second Friday? Is that what Jesus is telling us to do? No, I don't think that's what Jesus is telling us to do. But I think we can do something. And I was thinking about, so what can we do? So one of the things that came to mind was maybe we start by paying attention to what promises joy but leaves us empty. What promises you joy but leaves you empty? And so this week, here's what you can do. Notice the things that drain you rather than give you life. What are those things? And one that came to my mind was this. scrolling, right? You know what I'm talking about? I did a little research this week. On average, we spend 143 minutes a day scrolling, mindless scrolling. Almost 2.5 hours. And for younger folks, it's even more more than this. All right. Does it give us life or is it draining life? Well, I think it's draining life more than it's giving life. Now we have to deal with things called doom scrolling. Have you heard of that? I hadn't heard it until it came up this week in one of our conversations over supper with my family. So doom scrolling is this. It is the act of spending an excessive amount of time watching short-form content or watching large quantities of user-generated content or news or particularly negative news on the web and social media. So it's something that, what is it doing? It's sucking the life out of you, right? It's not giving you life. You know, it impacts even your mental health. A UNC Health study said this. Doom scrolling, it reinforces negative thoughts and feelings. It can worsen existing mental illnesses such as anxiety or depression and increase panic and worry. It can lead to irritability, a lack of productivity, poor concentration, and mental fatigue, which can further have a detrimental effect on a person's overall sense of well-being. Doom scrolling. All right. Pay attention to what? It's sucking the life out of you, right? Right? And so maybe the first thing we do is just, you know, again, what is it that truly gives joy? What is it that looks like it does, but it actually leaves you empty? And it's just not mindless scrolling through social media, okay? That's just one example. But, you know, again, take stock of your day. Look at your activities. Which are given life? Is this leading me toward love, loving God, loving others, or is it leading me away from that? See, Jesus says it's internal, it's focused, and he says it begins with love, loving God, loving others. And when you do that, studies show, all kinds of things show that the impact it has on us. Practicing kindness, showing compassion. When we do those things, studies have shown that it elicits the production of oxytocin and dopamine, these things that make you feel good, right? These chemicals in our bodies that make us feel good. And so loving your neighbor not only helps somebody, maybe makes you feel good as well. It benefits your mental health. It benefits your physical health. I've shared before, you know, loving others, practicing kindness. It increases self-esteem and improves your mood. It decreases your blood pressure and the stress hormone cortisol, right? And so maybe instead of picking up the phone first thing in the morning, right, you wake up, what's the first thing you reach for many times? Might be the alarm clock, but it's the phone. The phone might be the alarm clock, but you turn it off on your phone, and what do? You pick up the phone and you start to scroll. And so maybe the first thing you do in the morning is simply spend some time in silence. Somebody said, well, I'll fall back asleep. Okay, well, that might not be so bad, but spend some, maybe instead of just silence, maybe spend that moment just in prayer. Just say, hey, Lord, here I am. You know, make this, help me to be your hands, your feet, your heart this day. The silence can clear the inner noise that crowds out peace and it maybe helps us focus on what really matters. It's relational stuff, not external stuff. That's why Jesus says, clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may also become clean. He doesn't say clean the outside of the cup so the inside becomes clean. He says, focus on the internal. If you focus on the internal, then it will have an impact on the external. And so maybe you do, every day you do one small inside cup practice, what I call it. Right? Maybe you do. You put your phone down. Make sure you don't have your phone when you're eating a meal with others. Maybe during the staff meeting, maybe whatever when you're meeting with someone, you don't have the phone out at all. Even having it out and turning it over and having it on the on the desk or on the table communicates something. It's communicating that, oh yeah, I'm here with you, but you know, if something comes up on this phone, It's important. I want you to know it's going to be important. It's going to probably be more important than you, because I have a problem. I can't even put it away. And so maybe we put it away and we make eye contact with the person we're there with. And we are truly, we're listening rather than thinking about what our response is going to be. Or we let someone finish their story before we interrupt and begin to tell our story. That's me right there. Okay? Doing those kind of things, the small inside cup practices. You know, the Pharisees, all about external, broadcasting how holy they were, all the good deeds they did. So maybe you do something kind, but you do it anonymously. Maybe you're walking through the parking lot at school or at work or whatever, and you notice some trash, and what do we normally do? We just kind of cruise on past it. Maybe we stop, we just pick it up. We clean that up. All right, we don't have to make a big deal out of it. Maybe we pay for the person who's behind us in the drive-thru. We pay for their order. So when they pull up to the window, it's already paid for. I don't know. See, when we do things anonymously, it sort of breaks our dependence or the tendency to want approval or recognition and praise. So when we do that. And we regularly give thanks. I've shared this before. You were encouraged to, each day, write down three things that you're thankful for. Think about three things that you're thankful for, right? Because when we give thanks for something, we begin to notice that which is already present in our lives rather than spending time complaining about what we don't have or what we wish we had. So regularly give thanks. And then practice Sabbath rest. Jesus regularly disrupted the Pharisees' understanding of Sabbath rest, because it was, again, all external. Right? So he attempted to refocus that, to turn it back to more toward joy, what it was intentionally to be about. You know, and maybe that for Sabbath rest for you, that's, you know, walking or enjoying music or laughing, whatever. I would say, okay, I'm biased in this, but I would say, because the scriptures point to it, Sabbath rest also includes worship, loving God, doing things that help us loving God. And it's amazing how the secular world many times affirms what we find in the scripture, right? Because the secular world has said that, I found it was a National Library of Medicine article said that weekly attendance, being in worship, is related to having greater longevity, healthier behaviors, better mental health, greater physiosocial well-being. The Harvard School of Public Health found that regularly attending worship services leads to a lower risk of death of despair, meaning those who attend services on a regular basis were significantly less likely to die from suicide, drug overdose, and alcohol poisoning. Serious stuff. But I don't think everybody's dealing with that. But it went beyond that. It said it fosters a stronger sense of meaning, purpose, life satisfaction. It's linked to lower all-cause mortality, with some suggesting it is comparable to healthy habits like exercising or quitting smoking. So maybe the New Year's resolution should be, I'm going to be in worship more often. Said attenders tend to smoke less, have better cardiovascular health outcomes. It's associated with better survival rates for cancer and heart disease patients. Sounds to me like making worship a priority is a pretty good thing to do. Right? So maybe practicing Sabbath rest is something we do. So maybe, you know, as we step into this new year, the question is, how can I just try harder? Or you know, what do I just need to give up? Maybe it is, what does it actually get? What does God wish want me more for me? You know? What if God just wants more for me, not less for me? God's not trying to restrict. God's trying to bless us with more. Right? And to understand what that is. Because Jesus is not describing a joy that drains us, a God who restricts us. But instead, a God who says, hey, let's work on the internal, so that, let's clean the cup on the inside so that my love can overflow. right? I'm not here to spoil, all right, your fun, but to protect you from that which actually doesn't give life, all right? God's not like offering self-improvement plans, okay? You can find those all over the place. It's not what God's doing. God's saying, you know what? Let's love better and love more. Love me, love our neighbor. That's where you find true joy, and that's where you find life. So if that understanding of God that you have gotten twisted a little bit, God is not the killjoy God. All right, Pharisees, the Nick Sabans of the world, those are the killjoys, okay? God is the giver. God wants more for us. And so as we move into this, continue to move into this new year, the hope is, you know, that our habits, our half-kept resolutions, you know, some more than that, right? It's about cultivating this relationship that God calls us to. It leads to more, that leads to deeper joy, leads to an abundant life. With that in mind, let us pray. Lord, we do. We confess that sometimes we don't trust that we'll find true joy in you. Sometimes we do. We think that you're about restricting us or taking the fun out of life or whatever it might be, Lord. And help us to untwist that understanding, Lord, because that's not who you are. Help us to trust in your love, to love you more and to love our neighbors and understand that when we do those things, we experience so much more, not less, but more in life. For this we pray in your name. Amen.